Well, good morning everyone and welcome. It's Pastor David here on Sunday the 20th of June, and our opening hymn invites us to come and worship our lovely Lord Jesus and to bring to him our love and adoration. To read to you this morning from Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And I'm reading to you my own personal favourite parable of the Lord Jesus. Always been amazed at this story that he told to illustrate something of the loveliness of our God. So Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So the father divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Last week, I encouraged you from that account of the Philippian jailer to believe in Jesus and to keep on believing. And this week I want to remind you of why the Lord Jesus is so worthy of trusting and believing. And to do that, I'm going to focus in on just one of the many, many lovely and wonderful characteristics of Jesus. I want to focus in on his compassion. The word compassion means feeling with. It is to be moved or stirred inwardly. The Greek word we translate as compassion is linked actually to the intestines or the gut. And we still say that when we talk about being gutted if we're upset. And compassion is to be gutted when we see what's happening to someone else, to feel with them. And in the New Testament, Jesus is described on numerous occasions as being moved with compassion, deeply stirred for people in trouble and need. And Jesus' compassion didn't stay as just a feeling. It led to his action to help others. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He taught the truth of God to those who were lost. And in Jesus' day, there wasn't much compassion about. So we read that when a blind beggar shouted out for help to Jesus, the crowd turned on him and told him to shut up. But of course, Jesus responded with compassion. And so who wouldn't want to believe and trust in Jesus? The one person in a crowd of angry, irritated people, the one person who had compassion on a blind beggar. What a lovely saviour is Jesus, our Lord. And then a leper, who Luke tells us was absolutely covered with disease. And we read that Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out and touched him and healed him and made him clean. This is Jesus, the one filled with compassion and pity. Jesus never regarded anyone who was suffering with indifference or disgust, never regarded them as a nuisance. He always wanted to help them. He always felt sorry for them. And you can see this compassion in many of the parables that Jesus told. Think of the parable of the Good Samaritan, that traveller travelling on that road from Jerusalem to Jericho, is mugged and beaten and robbed, so badly beaten that he's left for dead. And some temple people come across him, the priest and the Levite, clergy people. But when they saw him, they crossed over to get out of the way and they hurried on. They probably said to themselves, look, we can't get involved in this. We're clergy. We can't risk our temple work. It's so important. It's our duty to God. And so they ignored the situation and went on their way. Then the point of the parable. A hated Samaritan that the Jews so hate comes, and Jesus says he had compassion on the man and went to help him. And then there's that parable I read from Luke 15. The parable of the prodigal son. The younger son comes to his father and says, you're taking a long time to die, Dad. Can't I have the money now? So the father gives, and the son, with wallet bulging, goes as far away from home as he can get and blows all his father's hard-earned money on rubbish and ends up broken in a pigsty. When he was starving, and out of nothing else but sheer desperation, he sets off back for home. And the point of the story, as Jesus tells it, is that the father, who had been treated so very badly and hurtfully, was on the road each day looking for his son. And when the father saw him, he ran to his son. Let me just read to you that verse. What a wonderful verse. Verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. So filled with joy is the father that he throws a huge village party. He kills the best calf in the herd for a feast, filled with compassion. And Jesus used parables to teach spiritual truths. So what do we learn from the parable of the Good Samaritan? Well, we learn that compassion crosses all race and all religious barriers. Jews and Samaritans were enemies. They had no dealings with each other. But compassion asks no question about race or religion. It just goes out to help and to meet a need. From the parable of the prodigal son, we learn that compassion extends to those who suffer because of their own folly, because of their own fault. The prodigal brought all his trouble on himself. He deserved everything he got. And Jesus taught this compassion because he is compassionate. But I want to look now at compassion that doesn't just remain a feeling, just feeling sorry for someone, perhaps saying that you'll pray for them. Because there's another New Testament word that is the other side of the compassion coin, and it's mercy. Compassion and mercy always go together. Mercy is the outworking of compassion. Mercy is to actively relieve the suffering of another. If compassion stops with just inner feelings, it achieves nothing. Genuine compassion always moves a person to practical response. And so the Good Samaritan helped the man in need. The religious people, they found ways to close their hearts, leave it to someone else. The Samaritan took action, which cost him. Cost him his time. He was probably late or maybe completely missed his appointment. Cost him valuable possession. As he poured in oil and wine. Cost him his comfort and his convenience. He put the injured man on his donkey so he had to walk the rest of the way. Cost him money as he paid for the man's care. And it could have cost him his life on that dangerous road. He had mercy on him. And the question Jesus asked, who was the neighbour? Was it the religious people? And the answer was, it was the man, the one who had compassion and mercy. Jesus' compassion always resulted in action. And of course, Jesus is the reflection of his Father. What we see in Jesus is what God the Father is like. Jesus is the exact image of the Father. He said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So what is God like? Well, he's like Jesus. It's like what we see in Jesus. In Psalm 103 we read, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we are made. And he remembers that we are dust. He doesn't treat us as our sin deserves. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. What a God that we are called to believe and trust in. What a God we serve. How great thou art, said the hymn writer. How can we neglect believing and trusting and following and serving and surrendering our lives to a God like that? You and I, as Christian believers, owe everything we have and everything we are to the compassion and mercy of God expressed in Jesus. The God who never turns anyone away, and he waits for you to come to him, to bring your life, to serve him, even at cost. And there is a cost, of course, whenever we seek to serve, give ourselves to Jesus. The invitation is to come to him. And to close this, and to bring the challenge of the truth that we've seen, we must realise that the true Church of God must reflect the character of its Lord. Christians now have the mind of Christ in them. So they increasingly think like Jesus, like the compassionate, like the merciful Jesus. We're made more and more like Jesus. And Jesus was compassionate and merciful. And so should we be. Next week, all being well, if the Lord wills, we regather after a long, hard time away. And I say to you and to myself, what a God-given opportunity for a fresh start and a fresh commitment to work, to serve, to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ to one another and to those outside, even at cost, a fresh commitment. Never to miss an opportunity ever again. There must be something that each of us can do to serve our Lord and Saviour in a fresh way that would show compassion and mercy and commitment to him. So I want us to close now with a hymn that for me is almost unknown. It's the hymn of Charles Wesley. And I want to, as for me it's not a familiar hymn, I want to read to you, if I can, the words. So as the music begins, I'm going to pause it at the introduction, and then I want to read to you these wonderful words. So the hymn says, depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare? I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand faults. Yet there for me the Saviour stands, shows his wounds and spreads his hands. God is love, I know, I feel. Jesus pleads and loves me still. Why to me this waste of love? Well, ask my advocate above. See the cause in Jesus' face now before the throne of grace. If I rightly read his heart, if thou all compassion art, bow thine ear, in mercy bow, pardon, and accept me now. Now incline me to repent. Let me now my fall lament, now my foul revolt deplore. Weep, believe, and sin no more.